America Radio.
And welcome back. Well, regular listeners to Politically Direct know that the issue of election integrity is something that we have talked a lot about. It's very important to me. We've had a lot of guests on who are schooled in this issue. And in fact, just last week, you may have heard Congressman Rush Holt was our guest. He was talking about the legislation that he has introduced again in the 110th Congress that would change our election system, ideally reforming it and dealing with the issues that have been raised about electronic voting. But there are those who say this legislation doesn't go far enough. And one of those is our next guest. Brad Friedman is the founder of bradblog.com. Brad, welcome back to Politically Direct.
Good to be back, Dave. Thank you.
Well, again, right from the get-go, you and I think you have said on your website that there's a full disclosure, you actually helped in the drafting of what became this Rush Holt 2, the new Holt legislation, but you're very concerned about the end product.
I am indeed, and thanks for mentioning that. I did work throughout each draft with the office and, in fact, hopefully improved quite a bit of the language and added some important provisions. So let me make clear, there is a lot of very good and very much needed stuff in the Holt legislation. I do realize, of course, that, you know, there is no such thing as perfect legislation. So while some have suggested folks like me are setting aside the good in favor of the perfect, which is unachievable, I don't really see that as the case. I realize any legislation that passes here is not going to be perfect. However, there are a couple of grave loopholes that I believe will saddle us with trouble again for the next several years.
Like the Help America Vote Act, right?
Like the Help America Vote Act, exactly. And for the moment, we'll just stipulate that, it was passed, the Help America Vote Act, or HAVA, was passed with the best of intentions in mind. Never mind that it was pushed through Congress by Bob Ney and some other bad characters.
Where is Bob Ney today?
Bob Ney would be in jail at this time and unable to vote as a felon in Ohio, and yet we're stuck with his crappy Help America Vote Act.
Well, that's a little bit of perspective for those who haven't been following the Ney saga. By the way, just before we go on, what a feeling it must be for you, because you have really developed, and we talked about this when you were on the program the first time, you really have learned this issue. You were, some say an accidental activist. The circumstances took over, you rose to the occasion to learn about the need for this kind of reform. And what an opportunity then. You find yourself in the room with people actually helping to draft legislation. Must have been an extraordinary feeling.
It is, and it still is. And the fact that that these folks, these Congress members, are coming to me for thoughts, for advice, and actually being able to write the legislation to a certain extent is an extraordinary thing. And again, actually, to the credit of the Holt folks, they really did reach out to a number of us in the election integrity community to help with the drafting of this bill. So again, I have to give them credit. Where I can't give them credit is the fact that they sort of went right on up to the line and didn't do the thing that they really need to do, and virtually every computer scientist or security expert who looks at this will agree. We need to ban touchscreen, or DRE, direct recording electronic voting. And this is something that even the new Republican governor down there in Florida has come to realize, and he showed the courage to say out loud, we need to replace the touchscreen systems in Florida with paper-based voting systems.
This is Charlie Crist, the new Republican governor. But let's understand, for people who were not subsumed in this issue as you and I have been and have spent a lot of time reading about it, let's lay it out very clearly. The DREs, the direct recording electronic machines,
that's right.
These are subject to the kind of tampering that optical scan machines, while also electronic, are not. There is a distinction, right?
Well, actually, no. Optical scan machines are also subject to the same sort of tampering. And if you saw HBO's excellent documentary, Hacking Democracy, you would see an optical scan actually tampered with and a mock election being completely flipped. Here's the difference, however. With an optical scan system, what you have is a paper ballot. A paper ballot that a human being has actually marked with their own hands, and we can divine their intention from that ballot. And if there's any question with the optical scan tabulator, we can go and count the ballots. We cannot do that with the touchscreen machine where you get your numbers from inside the machine.
So both can be tampered with, but in the case of the optical machines, there is the potential for the paper trail validation.
Well, with the paper ballot validation, there's a big difference. The touchscreen machines use these paper trails that are sort of spit off the side of the machine. They're never actually counted, and in fact, paper trails, therefore, are a scam. And, of course, the problem with the Holt legislation is though it requires these paper trails, it doesn't require that they actually be tabulated. I know it seems a lot to ask, but what America needs...
That's a little bit of sarcasm, isn't it, Brad?
Just a little. Okay. If you read bradblog.com, we're known for that, but it's a pretty simple concept. America needs a paper ballot for every vote cast, and that ballot needs to be tabulated. I know that's a radical idea in America.
Well, it's back to the future. It is, and in one sense, the alternative to all of this is HCPB, as you abbreviated, but it's hand-counted paper ballots. I mean, it used to work.
It did, but the fact is, it's not necessary. We don't have to hand count those ballots. What is useful here is to be able to hand count those ballots if there's any question whatsoever, or even as a safety, we need to build in, and Holt does this not well enough, but builds in mandatory random audits of the paper ballots so we can be assured that optical scan machines are accurate.
He mentioned that when he was here. When you say not well enough, why isn't it good enough, this random auditing?
Well, now we begin to get down into the weeds as far as the audit protocol, how many ballots must be counted in each race to achieve. What you want to achieve is 99% scientific certainty that the reported results are actually accurate. And the particular protocol he uses does not do that. And in fact, what Americans won't probably realize until it's too late is that the protocol he uses assures that you will never count any more than 10% of these ballots via these audits, which means a lot of fraud is going to get through.
You like Rush Holt.
I do like Rush Holt.
Why isn't he going far enough?
You know what? I think it's the same reason that Democrats aren't going far enough on things like their Iraq policy. It's a matter of fear, and in fact, these guys have turned on themselves to say, well, we all know we should get rid of touchscreen voting machines, but we're going to have trouble getting that through politically. And so instead of taking the courage, leading, letting America know we need to get rid of the touchscreen voting, they're already negotiating with themselves. Bottom line, David, is that touchscreen voting machines disenfranchise thousands, if not millions, of voters because when they break down, forget the tampering, but when they break down, people show up to vote, they're not able to cast a vote. Legally registered voters were sent away by the thousands, if not millions, during the 2006 election cycle, because they were unable to even cast a vote when these touchscreen machines break down. That doesn't happen with a paper ballot, even if it's optically scanned. Anyone can vote anywhere, anytime. That's what we need to be assuring, and we need to call on our Congress members to stand up and show the courage, because this issue underscores all others, and we have to get it right. We cannot stand, as far as I'm concerned, I don't know if American democracy can stand another questionable presidential election.
My guest is the Paul Revere of the Election Integrity Movement, Brad Friedman. He is the founder of bradblog.com. This is Politically Direct on Air America Radio. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about what can be done to actually get a real reform through this Congress. I'm David Bender. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back. My guest is Brad Friedman. He is the founder of bradblog.com, which is the best place to go if you're looking to understand the intricacies and nuances of the issues surrounding election integrity, specifically involving electronic voting and all of the horrors that we have seen in the last two or three election cycles. Brad, before the break, we were talking about actually the difficulty. Now that there's a Democratic Congress, one had expected, many of us did, that this would be first up, and it would be very clear-cut. It would be as strong a bill in both the House and the Senate as you could imagine, and we'd never see this problem again. And yet, you've outlined that the Democrats, like with Iraq, are talking about it but not doing it.
That's right. They're going right up to the line instead of saying out loud, look, here is what is required for election integrity. They're doing these political calculations. What will it mean if we come out for this and that, instead of standing up and saying, look, we require elections that are transparent and that the people once and for all can not just have confidence in, but if there's any question, they themselves, any human being, it doesn't take a rocket scientist, which, by the way, Rush Holt literally is.
He literally is. Exactly right.
That any of these citizens can have oversight, transparency, and can go find out for themselves if the results are correct.
You refer to the Democrats as being sort of in a foxhole. What do you mean by that?
Actually, that was a term Russ Feingold mentioned to me when I had lunch with him some time ago last year in spring. He talked about the fact that these guys, these Democrats, essentially, they know what's right. They know what the right thing is to do, but they talk to their media consultants and the Washington insiders, I guess, who say, oh, you can't go that far. The media will kill you for it. So they go down into their foxholes. They try to come out with, which, by the way, I think is a very interesting way to put it. And
the fox part of it, of course.
The fox part of it.
But I'm so puzzled by this, Brad, because it seems to be a no-brainer to me that the media, which has itself suffered from having elections, exit polls that didn't make any sense, that didn't coordinate with the actual results in a number of elections now, they've been embarrassed by this, that it would be in everyone's interest to have transparency and elections that actually reflect the will of the voters. Isn't it also, it's not so much necessarily the media pressure, but the pressure from two other sources. One are these electronic voting companies themselves, which still manage to have a great deal of influence and a lot of money to spend in terms of what Congress will do, and on the secretaries of state and the people who administer the elections, who are in bed with these companies because they spent so much money to put these systems in.
That's right. Not just secretaries of state, but the local elections officials who have gone to their counties and said, hey, this is a machine, whether it's Diebold or ESNS or Sequoia or Hart, this machine works great. I promise. I've tested it. It's wonderful. Give me $20 million. The county does. And then later on, when they find out, when some jerk over at Bradblog reports that, oh, what do you know, this machine can be hacked in about 10 seconds, they are loath to go back to their counties and say, I was wrong. So they end up in this extraordinary state of denial. They come up with all sorts of contortions about why folks like me are absolutely wrong, despite the fact that, you know, we've got scientific data, videotape, and everything else showing these machines are not good. The bigger problem, though, goes back again to not just the Democrats, but their public advocacy groups, folks like PFAW, Common Cause, Move On, who have come out. They know that we need to get rid of these touchscreen machines, and yet they have, in essence, negotiated with themselves to say, oh, we can't go that far, so we'll settle for this. We'll settle for paper trails. It's extraordinary that they know better, and yet they're still afraid to take the right step. So it's going to be up, as usual, to the American people to apply pressure, the co-sponsors of the Holt bill. He's got 192 co-sponsors currently on that bill.
He had 222 the last time, right?
Well, that's right, and he's getting up there. But although by the time this show airs, I think it may be 191. You can check bradblog.com. I'm trying to get confirmed, but it looks like one representative is going to be withdrawing their support of this bill.
Can you give us that name yet?
I cannot yet do it because I want to make sure we got this thing absolutely right.
But to that point, Brad, yeah. What you're saying is that some people are now looking at this going, this half a loaf could be more dangerous than nothing.
Well, that's right, because you're institutionalizing these systems now, these systems that we know don't work. And when they pass this bill, and I've written it this way before, I'm concerned that this bill will become known as HAVA 2, Help America Vote Act 2. HAVA was a disastrous law, but this time, if this bill becomes known as HAVA 2 by the time we roll around to 2008, this time the Democrats are not going to have the Republicans and Bob Ney to blame. They're going to have only themselves and, frankly, their public interest groups who are, I think, are putting political expediency ahead of election integrity in supporting this bill.
What happens when you talk to Rush Holt or his staff about this sort of threshold concern that it goes right up to the line and backs away? What's their response?
They've had a few responses. One of them is quite disingenuous, actually, in suggesting that folks like me will only stand for hand-counted paper ballots. That's not true, and the American people need to a legitimate debate on this matter.
That's a paper man as opposed to a straw man.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
Yeah,
All right.
A paper tiger, if you will. The argument being that, oh, you crazy election integrity folks won't stand for anything but hand-counted paper ballots.
And you've already made clear that you're open to doing things,
sure,
including the optical scans with the proper constraints. So, stipulated. What else do they say?
They also suggest that there is a concerns amongst the language minority community that for some reason, and though there's no actual evidence of this, but for some reason, folks who don't speak English as a first language are somehow better served by using DRE OpScan systems. That makes no sense. There's no real evidence for it. In fact, you can print out a ballot in whatever, you know, Chinese, Vietnamese, Spanish, whatever it is, and a voter can vote on paper just as easily, I would argue, if not more so, than they can on the touchscreen system.
So that's a canard. And what's so we have two things that really are objectively not true.
That's right.
What else?
Well, the third thing is the political expediency of it. Oh, if we're tougher here, we're not going to get the bill passed. And, you know, again, this comes back to the Democratic leadership. Show leadership, explain this issue, don't count on the media to do so, because we know the mainstream media has been appalling on this topic. They don't understand the issue themselves. They think paper trails save us. Look, down in Florida, where 18,000 votes disappeared on touchscreen voting machines that don't have a paper trail last in the November election.
Christine Jennings.
That's right. It was a 369-vote margin, yet 18,000 votes disappeared. The notion that's being forwarded by groups like Common Cause and PFAW that, oh, if those touchscreen machines only had a paper trail, this wouldn't have happened, is utter nonsense. As it is, 18,000 voters got to the summary screen, saw that there was no selection for Jennings or Buchanan, and they failed to be able to change that vote. What makes these folks think that, oh, if that same information was shown on a paper trail, they would have been able to change the vote? The only difference down there a paper trail would have made on those machines is that that election would not be being challenged right now in state court and in Congress both. A paper ballot that is actually tabulated solves all of those problems, David.
Well, Brad, unfortunately, we're out of time, but this is a subject that we're going to keep coming back to, and I want to have you back to talk about it as it goes through. What can people do? How can people get involved to make sure that whatever does pass out of the House has the strength to actually make a difference when it comes into law?
Okay, a couple of action points here. One, go to velvetrevolution.us. Where there's an open letter to Congress from more than 40 election integrity groups demanding a paper ballot that is actually counted for every vote cast in America. You can send that letter to your Congress member via velvetrevolution.us. As well, call your Congress member, demand that they stand up for that they currently withdraw their support from Holt unless it's amended, and focus on the Senate side where we can try to hopefully fix the Holt bill via a matching Senate bill. Focus on Dianne Feinstein, who is overseeing the House Senate Administration Committee, and get her to demand exactly that, as well as any senator or congressman in your local area.
Brad Friedman, the Paul Revere of our election integrity fight, one if by land, two if by sea, and three if by Brad. Thank you for joining us on Politically Direct, and thank you for your work. We're going to have you back, and keep up the fight.
Thank you, my friend. Always happy to be here for you.